golf's perfect imperfections.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning, everyone. Wisdom in golf and golf WRX land. This morning we have a very informative show. That was fun last week with Robert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a really terrific week. And, you know, on the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about very important modus operandi that your central nervous system uses on a daily basis to do different tasks. And if you're on the wrong task, especially when chipping, we're going to be talking about chipping today. And you guys are going to love it so much that you will not be able to wait for your next time to go out to the range. And if you're in Northeast, you won't be able to wait until you get back to the gym with a kettlebell, because we're going to show you something that's going to absolutely revolutionize that short game of yours and put all of those funky wedges that you've been buying up into your locker permanently. Because our students have been really enjoying, you know, it's one of the things, you get your notoriety for the full swing, but then you don't realize that, hey, we got some extremely golden nuggets when it comes to short game, putting, bunker shots, because it's all the same machine.
Yeah.
And that's something that Sav and Moo have been really going leaps and bounds on. And so let's remind everyone, as far as, you know, the two different kinds of ways that your central nervous system works when you're performing a specific task. So if you get an important message on your phone, you grab your phone, and, you know, as soon as you start, you know, punching the digits on your phone,
yeah,
well, or the keys, well, your body becomes an absolute statue, especially if you got big fingers like me and you're trying to tap those little digits. It's it could become a very tedious task. So any tedious task that you have, if you're a surgeon, a dentist, an architect, anything where you have to do stuff with your fingers, well, you basically are dealing with a statue. Your brain's got to shut everything down so that you can be able to perform these very minute tasks. And when it comes to the golf swing, well, that can be devastating. And this is where the yips come from. The yips come from you fighting your body to manipulate your putter to try and position your, you know, position it on a line or on the ball, and you do that over and over again, and then your brain absolutely rebels.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't meant to do that for that particular task. And so the task that we're talking about is this is like a free flowing state of arm swing that occurs for lumberjacks, grass whippers, farmers with a scythe, you know, when you have that scythe.
Yeah, for wheat.
Yeah, exactly. When you want to cut down your wheat for the fall.
Yeah.
Well, you've got this very big instrument that goes across your whole body, and you're actually turning the body to cut the grass down, and you're not really using the arms when it comes to that.
No.
Your arms are just riding along the top of the rib cage.
Yeah.
So if you look at, you know, when you're tossing, like when you guys are bowling.
Yeah, that's a good example. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You got this 14-pound bowling ball in your hands.
Yeah.
And you're trying to swing it down the alley.
Yeah.
Well, you can't have a still body for that.
No. You got to build up some momentum with it. You use the legs a little bit, you know, pump up. And then you pick a spot where you want to release towards if you're going for a certain pin, you know, to get them all.
There you go.
Yeah.
So sound familiar, everybody? Yeah. And so if you're chipping and you're struggling with chipping and you're doing a lot of chili dips, you're sticking the club in the ground or you're sculling a lot of chip shots, it's because you're not using your legs, and you're thinking, what? I thought we were supposed to keep the legs still and steady and don't move the legs and keep us a very steady lower body. And that's typically why you're struggling in the bunkers, you're struggling on your flop shots, and especially struggling on your chip shots. Like, we're literally going to give you like the touch of a surgeon on these extremely short chip shots.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, well, how do I use my legs for that? Well, here's a fabulous exercise that Munashi is going to tell you all about. Like the one we started with the Atlas swing.
Yeah.
Then we were using that for the full swing, and that's one of the exercises that I love doing.
Yeah.
Because it really solicits full out.
Yeah, full body.
Full body motion and full kinetic chain.
Yeah.
But for strength and all that stuff. So describe the exercise, Moo.
Yeah, so to remind everyone, the Atlas swing is a great exercise done with the kettlebell. If you don't have one, you can always use a dumbbell, you know, gripping it and, one side up. And the purpose of it is to be able to generate power using the legs and turning. So you start one side and it starts above your head with the kettlebell. So I'd say between 10 to 20 pounds. You don't need them any more than that. And you let it swing down as if you're about to throw it up to the sky, almost like a shot put.
And it's a straight arm motion.
Yeah, straight arm motion, exactly. But you're allowing your body to clear on one side. So you turn your hips slightly towards one side. And then once you're loaded again, you come down to the ground and you use your legs to use the weight to come across your body. And then you bring it back up again. And you're engaging a lot of systems in that. So like your first set will be, you know, a little awkward, but then your second set will be a lot powerful and a lot faster because your body is aware of what the goal is, right?
It's getting out of the way of that weight.
Yeah.
So it's a very reactionary exercise.
Exactly.
And it goes back to, if you want to go on YouTube, take a look at arm swing versus body turn. Arms and body timing, Sean Clement.
Yeah.
And we talk about how, let's say, when you're swinging to the left,
yeah,
your right arm needs full, you know, freedom.
Yeah, that's right.
So that the upper arm doesn't crash into your rib cage and injure your shoulder.
Yeah.
So you have to remove the body out of the way so that the right arm swings past. And then on the way back, the left, you know, your body's got to turn in the opposite direction to allow the left arm free clearance.
That's right.
Into the other side.
Yeah.
So it's a brilliant dance with gravity.
That's right, yeah.
And with the added weight, well, it's obviously a workout too because it strengthens your back.
Yeah.
It strengthens your shoulders. It strengthens your grip.
Yeah.
I mean, just grip pressure.
You got to hold.
Yeah, you got to hold on to that kettlebell.
Exactly.
And then you feel how the legs have to activate, use the ground. So when we talk about ground forces in the golf swing, well, there's where you will experience ground forces at their best.
Yeah.
And so now we take that and we go to my next favorite exercise, which is
the bent over Atlas swing.
So
that one, your back's slightly bent about 45 degrees, you know, facing the ground. This time your range of motion's lowered a little bit. You're not going above your head. You're just going to the side.
Like halfway.
Halfway. Yeah, you're halfway.
Just past the
Hip height.
Yeah. So you're just going past hip height, and you're allowing that weight to come up, and then once it's nice and loaded, like you say, once it's hanging in the air a little bit, and then you use that lead leg to the other side, come down.
Yes.
And then
you feel this beautiful squat.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which you need to make space. For the kettlebell not to rattle your knees.
Yeah, that's it, right? Self-preservation, like you always say.
Self-preservation, baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what our machine's designed for.
Yeah.
So now, you can do this, if we go a little deeper than that.
Yeah.
You can do this at a micro level, right?
Yeah.
Because the crash, when you hold that kettlebell in front of you, your upper arms are right up against the rib cage.
Yeah.
So if you go back a foot, you're literally compressing the upper, let's say if I'm a righty and I'm doing a right-handed golf swing.
Yeah.
And I take the kettlebell into my backswing.
Yeah.
If I don't move my body, well, then I'm going to get a pec full of bicep, a left pec up against the left bicep.
Yeah.
And then my right arm's going to collapse.
Yeah.
And then the kettlebell's going to start wrapping around my body, and then it can no longer swing in front of me.
Yeah.
That happens in the first foot.
Yeah.
So what people don't understand is instead of, you know, we go from, and this is the evolution of the golf swing here.
Yeah.
We go from resist with the lower body.
Yeah.
to let the hips turn in the backswing.
Yeah.
But that's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a dual kinetic chain. Yeah. Your right leg, for a right-handed golfer, mm-hmm. has to use the ground to remove the body out of the way so the left arm doesn't crash into your rib cage.
Yeah.
And then the brain's got to go activate the left foot into the ground to mm-hmm. remove the body out of the way so the right arm has clearance to go to the target.
Right.
This happens literally in the first foot.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you let the kettlebell rock back and forth just a couple of feet yeah. to either side, you will get the gist of what a chip shot truly is.
Yeah.
And you remember, you know, this summer,
yeah,
midway through the summer, it was like, June, Sav?
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah. when we first started. And like Moo was literally chili dipping everything in sight. And,
yeah.
And the more careful you were,
yeah.
the crappier your chip shots were. And mm-hmm. and that's everybody listening is going, yep, that's me.
Yeah.
And, or many of you listening, of course, because when you get the swing of this thing, it's mm-hmm. over. You'll never have that problem again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So don't put a Band-Aid on it. Don't buy this, you know, cockamamie wedge off the internet mm-hmm. to try and save your chipping game.
Yeah.
Learn how to do it properly. And it's so easy to do. Yeah. Hey, Reese.
Little puppy came and joined us.
Go on. Go see Savvy. Go see Savvy. Where's Savvy? Reese, come here. She wants to go see everybody. So, Moo gets him. So you look at how you do this back and through just a couple of feet. And then you realize you have to use the legs, and there's going to be a little up and down motion of your knees
yeah.
and a little firing of that kinetic chain in both directions. So they're little mini kinetic chains, and they're actually really easy to do. So as soon as Moo was able to engage that in a short game, that's it. I don't remember. Once you got it,
yeah.
I don't remember you missing a chip shot after that.
Yeah.
Even on, you know, thin, wet, you know, lies.
Yeah.
And you were able to, and as soon as I showed you how to pick it clean.
Yeah.
And how to hit a thin shot with that technique.
Yeah.
That's it. It was all over. It was just fantastic. Yeah. And Sav, you've had this for, you know, the last couple of years. And as long as you guys have the proper focus
yeah.
of, hey, how much momentum do I want to use to land the ball on that spot?
Yeah.
So we're not trying to land it at the flag. The last thing, you know, when I see so many people in the short game, once they're ready to go, they look at the flag stick.
Yeah.
And I'm going, what are you looking at the flag stick for?
Mm-hmm.
You're not trying to hit it at the flag stick.
Yeah.
You got to look at where your landing spot is. And then you're figuring out how much momentum you need for that.
I think a lot of people miss that part of it.
Yes. That could really put the kibosh and sabotage your chipping game so much.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is learn the kinetic chain sequence. Mm-hmm. So there, I've named it, Sav,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have the manipulation way of doing it.
Yeah.
And you've got the kinetic chain way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So to engage the kinetic chain, you need to react to the weight of your arms and club.
Yeah.
Best thing to do is Goldilocks it.
So yeah.
go grab a 10-pound kettlebell and go ahead and do that. And then do it with just the weight of your arms. And you'll realize you'll be able to feel it.
Because,
mm-hmm. I mean, typically one arm is like 9% of your body weight.
Yeah.
So for a 200-pound person, well, you basically have between 30 and 40 pounds of arms. And that can be easily felt at the end of your shoulder sockets.
Yeah.
So you interlock your hands together and do the same thing with the arms. And then you realize that you, in order to feel that little centrifugal pull mm-hmm. at the end of your shoulder sockets,
yeah.
you got to use your legs.
Yeah.
So it's like when you let your arms dangle from the shoulders, and imagine you got a paintbrush in each one of your hands.
Yeah.
And you want to shake the paint out toward the ground. How are you going to do that? If you can't use your arms,
right.
you're just going to pump your legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There it is. So you can easily paint the ground with the sole of the club
mm-hmm.
using your legs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's typically what the chipping action is.
Yeah.
Isn't that a beautiful visual?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So once you have from, and I'm telling you, I mean, people say, well, how do you do, you know, when I'm on the fringe, and I got to pop it just over the fringe from this thick rough onto the green and let it trickle down to a hole that's, you know, where it's downhill.
Yeah.
Open face chip.
You do the open face chip, and what powers the club through the dandelion stem is the fact that you're using your legs.
Yeah.
And you can use them at such a micro level. When I can literally show my students how to carry it a foot in the air, and the club doesn't stop where the ball is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when you're cutting a dandelion stem, using your legs, using your kinetic chain, the club doesn't stop. And it's just phenomenal the level of touch you can have with this.
Yeah.
So get your kettlebell. You can, if you don't have a kettle, you can do it with a medicine ball.
Yeah, medicine ball.
Like a 10-pound medicine ball that you're cradling, you know, under your hand so that you don't use strength to hold the ball in the air. You're just cradling it, cupping it under both hands.
Yeah.
And then you just rock the medicine ball back and through and just don't let the upper arms hit the rib cage.
Yeah.
And then, okay, where do you want to drop the ball now? A foot away, 2 feet away, you know, 10 feet away? And then you can really start to enjoy that short game. And then Sav, when you do like one of the best shots you have is that 40 to 50 yard shot where it's full arms.
Yeah.
Your arms are not collapsing.
No.
Why?
Because I'm just using weight and momentum.
And when your body reacts to that, it clears out of the way.
Yeah.
And when the body clears out of the way, there's no obstacle for your upper arms to hit up against.
Yeah.
It's not because you're skinny that your upper arms are not hitting you.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter how big you are, those upper arms are going to hit the side of your rib cage if you don't get out of the way. So when you're rocking everything out of the way and you're building up some momentum, the fact that you're using momentum is what creates touch.
Yeah.
So, you know, typically, What is your routine now? I mean, we after your first tournament, and I remember you seeing I saw you do the routine properly.
Yeah.
But because the last thought going through your head was like Justin Thomas's last thought going through his head when he blocked that four iron into the hazard on hole number 16 at the Zozo this year, he says, "Don't go left."
Yeah.
And what did you say?
Don't leave it short or something like that.
Don't leave it short.
Yeah.
Ooh, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Because I saw your practice swings, and I'm going, oh, she's got this.
Yeah.
And then the ball screamed past the hole like 25 feet and then took the downslope on the other side. And you went, oh, no.
Yeah.
Right?
It's the worst. You just have to trust it.
Well, that's it. I mean, when somebody says, all I need to do is trust it, it means you're forcing yourself to make sure.
Yeah.
And I say trust has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Your central nervous system is a self-preserving machine, and your brain is this very accurate problem-solving tool. And you say to the brain, hey, show me something that's way too long. And then you do your, you know, your beautiful practice swing that would have put the ball, you know, well past the hole. And then you do a practice swing that's way too short. And by that time, you think the brain goes, I got this. And you do one in between and you're thinking, yep, that'll land the ball there. But then you let the circumstance creep in. And it's just your circumstance that says, hey, I'm in a tournament. I need to perform. I got to make sure.
Yeah.
And then you go, make sure you're not short.
Yeah.
That's it. It's over.
Yeah.
You've just ruined everything. So make sure you trust not to be short.
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So then you say, okay, well, what was that one in between again? Now, yeah, it was about this much.
Yeah.
You will always be way better than ballpark. Right?
Yeah.
The worst thing's going to happen is you'll have a 3-foot putt coming back the other way. Which if you know, as a tour player, you're really rehearsing that a lot, and tour players just don't miss 3-footers anymore.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, when we talk about trust, you dive deep down into that, trust really has nothing to do with it. because you have this God-given gift of self-preservation. Mm-hmm. And then you go, what was that again? Oh, yeah, it was about this much.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You go, okay, how'd I do?
Yeah.
That's it. Then it's not trust anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like, Let It Be, my favorite song.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I hope that that really puts you, because this is what we're going to be doing next.
Yeah.
In our premium off-season training. So we did the first video. If any of you are catching on to us for the first time, our premium channel at wisdomandgolfpremium.com has this goldmine of over 300 videos that have multi-angled, you know, views, and now drone,
yeah,
which Moo, now you are now just the, like, the penultimate you know, drone pilot.
It's a fun toy.
Oh, it's awesome, man. Yeah. You've been doing such an incredible job. So we're going to be bringing a lot more of that next year on the golf course, and I can't wait. So we've got it all planned out.
Yeah.
And so we have all these beautiful views for you to experience,
yeah,
golf instruction at its best, because it starts with anatomy, then it goes to neurology, and then you realize that becomes psychology in itself. Mm-hmm. I've had numerous conversations with some very prominent sports psychologists on the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. And when I bring them the premotor cortex, you know, which is, hey, I've got a kettlebell in my hands. Mm-hmm. I'm going to rock this kettlebell in a way that's going to make the ball land about 10 yards onto the green.
Yeah.
Versus, I'm going to make sure I don't miss the ball with my hands. Did all of you feel that? Mm-hmm. It's a completely different feel, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're driving your car right now. You haven't moved a golf muscle. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And this premotor cortex that's in your brain right now is the magic piece of equipment that's going to allow you to perform at your best. So you've got the tools. You are Pinocchio without the strings. So you go to our website, www.wisdomandgolfpremium.com, and you learn the Kinetic Chain Series. And you learn the Beginner Series for all of you beginners out there. We have an amazing Beginner Series for you. And all of you more stately people like me at 55 and over, and you're trying to not hurt yourself, because we just don't recover the same way we used to. And we have this beautiful Senior Series, which is also, we're going to add to it, a Get More Distance Series.
Right.
You know, how do you get more juice in your swing? And it starts with your chipping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of what we're just talking about right now. So this incredible self-preserving Kinetic Chain Series.
Yeah.
And then we're just about to, we did the grip leverage. We're doing right now an amazing series on off-season training. And we have several of our students who are not going to Florida this year because they're stuck with COVID. Mm-hmm. And they're going, well, you know what, Sean? This is like the first time I've been able to work on my game properly
without worrying about having to go play the next day.
Exactly. Yeah. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why so much of the golf instruction doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
you don't have time to polish yourself.
Well, that's it. So you just built in a new feel. You go from don't manipulate the club to meet the ball on a chip shot, mm-hmm, to feeling the weight of the arms cutting through a dandelion stem to land it at a certain place. You have to recondition your mind for that.
That's right, yeah.
So it's not just your technique. It starts in the brain. Mm-hmm. So then the brain's got to replace the old pattern with the new pattern, which means you need some reps to get used to it. Mm-hmm. And then when the brain sees a golf ball, it goes, okay, I'm ready to hit the ball. Oh, wait a second. No. I'm going to let the weight of my arms cut through the stem to land it there. Oh, yeah. And it feels about like this. And then that becomes your brain sees a ball, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and it looks for weight to cut the dandelion stem, and it's asking you where you want it to land it.
Yeah.
And that's when you can actually take it to the course. You need an off season for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, you can't build it into your portfolio. This is why for the last 14 years, we've had this unbelievably successful system that we're able to implement. So not only are you learning the good stuff, but you're learning on how to build it into your system. And then come springtime, we kick everybody out and say, hey, have fun.
Yeah.
And now we have a bunch of representatives for Wisdom in Golf or for ABC, a golf academy, that's actually going to perform.
That's right.
And be able to bring those changes out on the golf course.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing in football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, when your coach says, hey, you're not a receiver anymore, you're D-line.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you have to change everything.
Well, where did that start for you?
Well, it started right away. Once I got the news, they had a specific coach to kind of bring me up to speed to, like, all the system, because I have to relearn the playbooks.
So you have to go see a specialist.
Yeah, specialist. Yeah. This guy that worked with me was a coach who played in the CFL as well, and he, you know, told me the technique first, like how to get my footing, my feet work done for, you know, for that specific position. Like,
yeah, you're not using your feet for bursts of speed anymore. Well, yeah,
you still do.
But
it's just like to initiate the perfect technique to initiate the most powerful, you know, move was the footwork that I needed in that regard.
And you were going to move a lot more weight now too.
Exactly, right? So then in my head, I'm like, crap, I have to put more weight on. I have to start lifting more in terms of weight, because I don't want to get, you know, ragdolled around by a 300-pound lineman, you know, because it's, you know, it's like, it's not a fun voice. Feeling. It's not good for the ego either. So, you know, you do a lot of stuff to make sure that, you know, you're staying safe and also, you know, keeping your position as well too, right?
Yes, exactly. You don't want to look bad in front of the coach.
Yeah, and also they see it on film, because like they film every practice, so you gotta, you know, sharpen up those that technique.
Yeah, constantly. this thing,
it's
like
no
can you imagine? Exactly, can you imagine? In the '80s, it was fine. It's, oh, coach didn't see me, I'm good. Yeah. Right now, it's like he'll see everything.
Oh yeah, you see everything, and he will pick you apart in meetings in front of everybody. Right. So it's like, hey, here, you messed up. Like, look at your footwork. Like, what are you doing? You know, it's like, you're going to get tossed around. If you keep doing that, you're going to cost the play. Like, you know, it's also...
let the team down.
Let the team down. This is also like, this guy's trusting you. 11 guys trusting you to get the job done. If you miss your assignment, then either go down on the depth chart or...
politics should be a lot like football. That's the only thing I'm going to say, people. I'm not going there.
Yeah, so yeah, there's high accountability. You know, there's also high criticism, and that's why, you know, football players are accustomed to high criticism, because, like, you know, in practice, they let you know. It's like, if you mess up, it's a results based in the business, right?
Well, I mean, at one point, you got to understand that. Even though it comes across as harsh, it's still constructive criticism.
Yeah, it's very constructive.
Like, criticism. We want you to keep your position.
Yeah.
We need you.
Yeah.
Right? So we have to show you what's happening.
Yeah.
And that, so you can make it better. And that's, you know, hopefully there's a lot of football players and soccer players and basketball players who are going to get a little glimpse out of what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
It's like, don't take it personally.
Yeah.
It is for your benefit, because there's a reason you're on the team.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on that team, means you got talent.
Yeah.
And you're a capable individual.
Yeah.
And we just want to make you better.
Yeah.
Because the other team's working on this right now. And if everybody puts their ego in their pocket.
Yeah.
Then we can really move forward and get somewhere. And the faster we can do that, the more games we're going to win.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the premise of what the position and the position switch will entail, right? So it's like.
But I mean, the amount of mental work, mental reprogramming, to allow that body. So you have to, okay, I need to be doing this, and then the brain goes, ooh, I'm gonna have to pack some weight on.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm gonna have to hit the gym with more weight over here. I got to go talk to my trainer.
Yeah.
And I got to go talk to this coach.
Yeah.
And wow, what a network! It's a real village, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, 150 guys is a lot.
That's a village.
That's a village. Yeah. So, Yeah, like you said,
the so village people.
Yeah. So in the meetings too, sometimes you do one-on-ones with the coach, and you know they sometimes go over film with you during the off season, right?
Yeah.
So this is when, like you said, like when you polish up some stuff.
That's it.
The coach will like if you have questions, you want to go over practice you had, and coach will give you heads up like what could have been better in that play for you, and
yeah.
what you need to like study. Like he'd always recommend go check out some pros and see what they're doing in terms of yep. technique. And try it out if it fits the system that he's coaching, right?
Because
you also got to be able to be compatible in that regard with the system.
Well, it's like when Sav, you were a striker your whole life,
mm-hmm.
and then you get to college. Yeah. It's like, yeah, we got the pick of the litter.
Yeah,
we have a striker right now that we like. Mm-hmm. You're going to need to move to another position.
Yeah,
and it's like you went from striker to D.
Yeah.
And, well, luckily you have a really solid kick,
mm-hmm.
which was came in super handy to clear balls and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Operation.
Yeah, you can't.
You go from offense to defense?
Yeah. Like, the part that I kind of understood was the fact that he wanted more defenders with an attacking mindset.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're putting that person in a defensive position and they've never played it,
right.
And defense is also a huge part of the game. Like, Hello. You can't have a weak link in the defensive line, you
That's
know?
Right.
That's a liability.
Well, and the anxiety you must have had in that position must have been through the freaking roof.
Yeah, like, all I wanted to do was score goals. Like, that's what I knew how to do. And, like, I could do that from anywhere on the field.
Oh, yeah. It was brilliant to see you score from a D position.
Yeah. And then,
oh, that was
like,
sick.
To have to have that defensive, like, I didn't understand anything about defense.
Yeah.
And when you get to university, they're not going to teach you that.
It's no. Like, it's like, man, if you're a striker your whole life,
own.
Especially in when you're playing rep, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, the ball's back on the other side. Mm-hmm. Hey, D, do your thing
and
get the ball back up to me. And,
yeah.
and you're just waiting for the next opportunity to show the D mm-hmm. where you need to be.
Yeah, and defensive players in soccer, at least, are a little bit more scrappy. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't me at all. I had never been that kind of player.
Yeah.
So
you were always looking for a breakaway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was not great.
yeah. Well, I won't take you there too often, Sav, but it was a learning experience nevertheless.
Yeah.
And it puts you through some gears and it puts you mm-hmm. through some challenges.
Yeah.
And you came out all right, you know. You really came out all right, and it's something that's obviously going to serve you through life.
Yeah, survived all 5 years.
Exactly. I mean, the two of you. Well, you know, the hat's off to you. You got your university degree,
mm-hmm.
and you did it while playing a top level sport to boot.
Yeah.
Talk about multitasking.
It was always so such an interesting situation where you go to class and you know all these students in your class that don't play any sports are saying, oh my gosh, I don't have time to do this, I don't have time to do that, and blah blah blah, and I'm like sitting there just rolling my eyes like, you can't talk to me about this, like don't even talk to me about that, like all you do is school.
Yeah.
So get your priorities straight, because we have a 40-hour athletic schedule a week to deal with.
You have a full-time job.
Full-time athletic job.
Yeah. And then
a full-time.
Moo, how many jobs did you have in university, dude?
Two. It was a Starbucks and
a bouncer.
And then I upgraded to bartending.
There you go.
A few years down. And then
how good is that?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
But you must have been freaking exhausted.
Yeah, like in between classes, I'll take like a 20-minute nap. Like I'll be able to shut down right away and then pop back up.
It's amazing how the body adapts, though. And,
and
you have that youthful exuberance. They say, I can handle this.
Yeah.
I was more productive when we were in season, full-time training, full-time school, because it forced me to stay on top of my shit. Like, you can't slack off anywhere. Like, you have to be on top of everything.
Did you hear how that toughened her up? Did you say the S word?
I said the S word. But, when other kids who didn't have a job or didn't have sports and they're saying, oh my gosh, I don't have time to do my homework, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, don't even talk to me.
Well, speaking of multitasking, you know, while we're on that, just it sparked a little memory here. Sorry to interrupt your little, you know, but I, you know, we're good. And so we talk about, you know, one of my students says, when I'm backing up my truck with my trailer in my tight parking spot, and I don't want to nick my other vehicles, I'm looking in my camera, and then I look in my rearview mirror, and it's like my brain has to reorganize every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he says, I feel like the same thing with my golf swing.
That's,
you know,
pretty chaotic.
Well, that's it. It's like, I got my takeaway. Then what? Oh, that's right. And then I'm going to let my elbow bend. Oh, that's right. And then what? Oh, I gotta hinge my wrists. Mm-hmm. And then what? Oh, shoot. I forget.
Right there.
I forget. Oh, hit the ball.
Yeah.
Right? And you see, you know, like my new students that are with me now.
Yeah.
And one of my female students.
Yeah.
You know, what happens when you're a beginner and you're female, unfortunately for you, you're going to get a lot of unsolicited advice. Mm. And so what happens is it forces them to have to multitask and think about five things in the backswing. And they're actually looking with their eyes. They're following the club with the eyes.
Oh, that's
true. And they're looking at their elbows, and they're looking at their wrists, and they're looking at the club. Mm-hmm. And while you do that, well, of course, you've unplugged yourself completely from the task.
Yeah.
And then what are you going to do after that? How are you going to ever get to the target from there? And how are you going to reorganize your mind adequately in those 1.5 seconds of a golf swing?
Yeah.
It's impossible to do. Mm-hmm. So when you're backing up your car, well, it, you know, literally when we back our vehicles into the driveway, it takes a good 10, 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We got lots of time.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't feel rushed when you go from your rear view camera to your rear view mirror.
Yeah.
To make sure that you don't, you know, here in Quebec City, yeah, we have a company that we use to clear our driveways in the wintertime
because
there's so much snow.
Can't keep up.
And you know, we need our bodies so that we can bring these videos to you.
Yeah.
And they have to stick these poles on the outskirts of your driveway to show them where to you know, bring the snowplow.
Yeah.
And these poles kind of get in the way of your mirrors.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're looking at, okay, don't nick the mirror on this pole.
Yeah.
And don't nick the side of the building on you know, from mm-hmm. on that side. So you're going, we're doing both mirrors and the rear view camera.
Yeah.
Well, when you have time to do that, it's not a major rush. Mm-hmm. But when you have 2 seconds in a golf swing or less,
yeah,
then it's absolute chaos.
Yeah.
And this is why what we teach is so important when we're doing incredibly important work. And so if you're able to start this with your chipping and then work your way back towards, you know, so our next series after this is going to be the kinetic chain training series.
Yeah.
On how to engage that kinetic chain properly. And we're just going to have a blast with everybody, you know, basically guaranteeing a proper flow of motion where you don't have to think about a darn thing and actually be a witness to your swing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing that I learned this summer, is that that's what I had to slow down, because I was so careful and, you know, controlling the club too much. And I could see from the old videos how much, like, I was pushing the ball. Like, I wasn't using my legs properly. Like, yeah. I pick it apart now. It's seeing, but looking back, I'm like, yeah, that's
stick
not
handling.
The stick handling so much. Yeah. But now I'm allowing the arms and just allowing the whole kinetic chain to do its job without thinking about too much, but knowing where I want to go.
Awesome.
I'm very grateful for that.
That's, you know, and it's just, it's actually translating to the rest of your game.
Yeah.
Because you know what it feels like to throw the club with the legs now.
Yeah. And I say it takes time to fully organize all that information in the first round.
Yeah.
That's why this off-season training is critical.
Yeah.
If you want to move ahead. So for all of you in the South, mm-hmm. well, that's okay. Take 3 months of dedicated time and say, okay, boys, I'll see you in 3 months for our matches. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I gotta get my stuff together.
Well, when you think about it, every other sport has an off season.
Yep.
Yeah.
Every sport does.
Yep.
So you have to give yourself time to just step away from the actual competing part of it.
And you hear the guys on tour saying it all the time. I gotta shut it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta reorganize. I gotta regroup.
You gotta reflect. You have to reflect. It.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's only so long that you can do, because it will change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you keep repeating the same patterns, you'll have a peak time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you go past that peak.
Yeah.
And then there's a time to regroup.
Yeah.
Some regroups are a little longer than others.
Mm-hmm.
But when those regroupings involve a lot of positional thinking,
yeah,
that's what takes so much time.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to re-educate the golfing population on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for all of you out there who have friends struggling, people who you love who are struggling, please turn them on to Wisdom and Golf. Go to wisdomandgolf.com. Go to Wisdom and Golf on YouTube. Go to Sean Clement on YouTube. And really, you know, enjoy the content and take the time to do it and understand that it cannot, you know, like I say, it takes, I don't want to say a decade, but it takes months for an overnight success.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's
it's
right,
like
yeah.
You don't see somebody for 3 months, they come back and you go, whoa, what happened to you? Bryson's a good example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, 3 months, yeah, that's a little, yeah.
Yeah. It didn't take long, did it?
No, it didn't. It's like, who's this guy?
You know? I know. Who are you and what'd you do with Bryson?
Yeah.
So we hope you have that kind of transformation, and we invite you to be with us for that. So with that being said, you know, enjoy your week, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
We have so much to be thankful for, and we really appreciate all of our students and all of our teachers in the United States. And we're very, very thankful for you. And we wish you all the very best this week in these tumultuous times. We're thinking about you. We're praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys are on our minds very strongly, and we hope all the best and speedy recovery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For everyone.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to get our next season rolling. Let's get ready for next season.
Have a good week, everybody.
All the best.
Take care.